Do you remember the first message that I preached on the first Sunday? 2020. I spoke on four steps. You need to step one. You need to step forward. Step forward in your life. When you step forward, you're saying, I am responsible. Count me in. I'm accountable. I am example. Then I say that you need to step out. You need to step out because who lives in here? Christ. And he doesn't want to be hidden. He did not make you the light to hide at home. He make you the light to what? To shine for him. You need to step out to be and to do in the power of the Spirit. Now, which one comes first? To do or to be? To be comes first. You be. We are called human what? Human being. Be. Not human doing. You know. So the reason why we are able to do is because we are. Christ lives in us and he said, you are the light. So be the light. He said, you are the salt. So be the light. Be the salt. You need to step out to be and to do. And then you need to step away. Oh, thank you. You need to step away from distraction. They come in all shapes, all form, all colors. And this distraction is always yelling and calling for you. Sometimes very subtle. Wanting your attention. But you need to step away from distraction. And keep your eyes on only one person, not your wife. Say amen. Keep your eyes, of course, not on food. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He is the finisher and he is the author of your faith. Because you want to finish your Christian life what? Strong. You don't want to stumble, you know, to end your race. You want to finish your Christian race strong. You know, it's so important that we keep away from distraction. You know, and you don't want to become a yo-yo, but you want to be able to be up and up in Christ. Then you need to step up. I say you need to step up in prayer. And as what Xiang said, this Wednesday is our first prayer meeting, 7:30 at Nolamara. I reinforce it. You need to step up in prayer to God. Prayer tells us that you are depending on God. I think we live in a world today, especially in Australia, where there is so much self-sufficiency. You have good health. You are blessed with good income. You know, you are blessed with good family. So you have so much. So what to pray? If you don't pray, the Bible says that you will lose heart. You will faint. You will give up. You have to pray always. Pray to him and say, God, help me. God, lead me. God, use me. No need to make long prayer, but every situation said, Lord, I need you. So we need to step up in what? In prayer. But sometimes people may not need to step up in prayer. Some of us need to step up in our what? In our commitment. We live in a world today where people ask you, don't give too much. Don't be committed too much. You know, don't be crazy about Jesus Christ. But it will be crazy about many other things. Maybe some of us need to step up in our commitment. Maybe some of us need to step up in our punctuality. God, I need to be punctual when I come to your house. It takes effort to step up. It takes effort to step forward, to step out, to step away, or to step out. It takes effort. And I want you to know that the effort, the power to do it is in you. It is in you. So I'm taking these four steps because I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. And my father is a loving father. Not that he is so forceful, not that he comes and says, "Yeah, if you don't do it, I'm going to punish you." He's such a loving father. And sometimes, is it possible that we can take love for granted? Because he is so loving, so never mind. But I need to, as a son and as a daughter of a loving father. And this one thing I realized that God always promised, the Father always promised providence, protection, and His presence to be with us. We all want that, the three P's. The three P's, they are so needed and so important. And this is what He said to us. The reason why I promise you provision, protection, and presence, because you are my sons and you are my daughter, and that is the privilege of being what? That's the privilege of sonship. The privilege of sonship. So you can enjoy the privilege of sonship without fear, without condemnation. They have already been purchased on the cross by Christ. They are paid in full. In full. He emptied himself so that you can be complete, full, and whole. This is the grace given to you, the grace in sonship. You like that? There's only one side of the coin. You know, we all like privileges. More privileges. You know, but we know that the privileges that is promised in the Bible, God will not take it away. He will not change His mind. If you are not claiming your privileges, He's waiting for you. There is only one side of the coin. This morning, I want to speak about the other side of the coin. And that is your responsibility. I want to speak on what the Lord needs of you. I know we all want to send our needs to God. And sometimes our needs is a big list. God, this is all my needs. But do you know that the Lord also has needs, and He has some needs that He wants from you to meet. So this is where I want to speak about from Luke chapter 19, what the Lord needs. Luke chapter 19, reading from verse 28 to verse 37. With privilege comes responsibility. Great privilege means great responsibility. Luke chapter 19, verse 28. After Jesus tells this story, and what story was He telling? He told a story about the minas, how they were given the minas, and they were supposed to be occupied and tricked. After He tells this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of His disciples. As they came to the town of Bethlehem and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, He sent two disciples ahead. "Go into the village over there," He told them. "As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied. There have no one has ever driven. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying that cord?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Simple word, the Lord needs it. The Lord does have a need. And that's what I'm going to speak about, what the Lord needs of you. The Lord needs it. So they went and found the cord, as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owner asked them, "Why are you untying the cord?" And the disciples simply replied. What did the disciple reply? "The Lord needs it." So they brought the cord to Jesus and knew their garment over it for Him to ride on. As He ride along, the crowd spread out their garment on the road ahead of Him. When they reached the place where the road started down to the Mount of Olives, all His followers began to sing and to shout and sing as they walk along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they have seen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You for Your words this morning. And we ask You, Lord, that You will speak to us powerfully. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord needs it. The Lord has a need. The Lord needs something from you? What does the Lord need from you? And whatever the Lord needs from you is not going to be fulfilled by non-Christian. It's not going to be fulfilled by this hostile world that is anti-God, anti-Christian, and anti-church. What the Lord needs can only be met and fulfilled by who? By you and His church. The Lord believes in you. He entrusts you with His work. He empowers you with His love and with the power of the Holy Spirit to do His will, to do His work on earth, like His disciple in the book of Acts did. This is an old legend about Jesus arriving in heaven, and straight away as He ascended up to heaven, welcomed by the angel Gabriel asked Jesus, "You suffer much, dying for the sin of mankind. Does everyone down on earth knows it?" The Savior replied, "Oh no, just a handful of folks in Jerusalem and Galilee knows about it." "Well, Master," continued Gabriel, "what is your plan for everyone to know of your great love?" The Master replied, "I'll ask my apostle to carry the message into all the world. I told them to tell others, who will in turn tell others until the last person in the furthest corner has heard the story." Gabriel looked at Jesus and he said, "There is some flaw in the plan. What if after a while Peter forgets and go back to his fishing in Galilee? Also James and John and Andrew go back to become fishers of men. Instead of becoming fishers of men, go back to become fishers of fish. Suppose Matthew returned to become the tax collector, and all the others lose their zeal and just do not tell others. What then?" For a moment, Jesus stopped. And then He said, "Gabriel, I have no other plan. No other plan. No second plan." I'm glad the disciple fulfilled the Lord's need. I'm glad they did the work of the Lord. From one to another, one city to another city, one nation to another nation, one generation to another generation. And it came to who? It came to you and me. We need to step forward, step out, step away from distraction, and step up to meet and fulfill what the Lord needs from us. Let me give you why and the how do you respond to the Lord's needs. First, on the why. Why? You are chosen for a purpose. We know from verse 28 to verse 31 that Jesus, after telling the story, went towards Jerusalem. There, He told two of His disciples, "Go into the village over there. As you enter it, you will find a young donkey tied there that no one ever driven. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'What are you untying that cord?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" What a humbling experience to know that Jesus chose to use a simple domesticated donkey to carry Him, to carry the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Glory, into Jerusalem, the center of His culture, the center of His religion, the center of His economy, really, like the center of the world, as this young donkey carried the new king into Jerusalem in preparation of His death. Jesus did not choose a war horse. A war horse that is commonly used by conquering king when they enter the country they conquer. War horse are proven horse. No defeat, no retreat, fearless and charging forward in the heat of battle. Jesus did not choose a wild donkey. Hosea chapter 8 verse 9 described the wild donkey as headstrong and untamed animals. A stubborn animals. Have anyone ever said to you, stop being as stubborn as a donkey? I hope not. Neither did he choose a talking donkey. You can't get work done by a talking donkey. Talk and talk, opinion and opinion, and no work done. Jesus chose a domesticated donkey, an obedient animal. What is this animal for, this donkey? It's a work animal. It was looked after and trained to do work. It's a beast of burden, a burden carrier. In some part of the world, they still use donkey to carry people and heavy loads to terrain that other transportation are not possible. This donkey was chosen for a purpose. The day when this donkey was born, when he kicked his way out of the mother, did the donkey know that one day it will carry the King of Glory? I don't think so. Whether he carried Jesus or not, it was born for a purpose. So are you. The privilege and the responsibility to know that Jesus had chosen you before the foundation of the world to make you part of his big eternal plan. You are not here by chance, say amen. You are not here by mistake. You are here for his purpose. Your life is not about you. Never about you. It's about him. In him, you live, you breathe, you move, and you have your being. To be chosen for a purpose is to fulfill God's purpose on earth. Just like King David, this is how the Bible describes him in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. I have searched the land and found this David, son of Jesse. He is a man whose heart beats to my heart, a man who will do what I tell him. Here is what God said about David. This man share my heart, share my heartbeat, and he will do what I tell him. He will do my will. He will do my purpose. I have narrowed on him. He was born for my purpose. When I reach the end of my life, I want to know that Christ has accomplished his purpose in me. I have fulfilled God's purpose on earth. I have left footsteps worthy for others to follow. I did not spend or waste my life. I did not live solely for myself. I did not live just for the moment. There are people who just live for the moment. For the thrill of the moment. For the excitement of the moment. For the stupidity of the moment. And forget of the consequences of eternity in mind. This means to live life, I must know when to say yes and when to say what? No. But rather, when I meet Jesus, that I have invested my life, I have lived wisely to fulfill God's purpose on earth, it is here where all God's purpose is. Where I'm going after here, have no purpose for me to do. I can only do his purpose here and now. How about you? I want to be like Apostle Paul and not King Saul. This is what Apostle Paul described his life at the end. I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept my faith. But this is how King Saul described his life. I have played a fool, wasted my life, and now I take my life. I want to be a Paul and not a Saul. When you know that you are created, you are born, you are chosen for a purpose, You want to live your life so that living for Christ is your life motivation, your life purpose, and your life goal. This helps you to live your life as an ambassador, a pilgrim, a stranger, than to think this world is your permanent home. You are in transit. You are just passing through. So, live light, travel light, don't have too much excess weight, it's costly. And now, fulfill God's purpose for your life on earth. Think of this. The young donkey will never be the same again after he has carried the Son of God. The glory that the young donkey experienced was not about the donkey, but about Christ's glory reflect through and around the donkey. And I tell you, when you live your life for Christ, knowing that you are chosen for a purpose, living for His purpose, the joy and the thrill and the glory of Christ is reflected in your life and through your life. In 2020, you are chosen to carry the glory of God. Say amen. You are the carrier of Christ's glory. You are chosen to represent Christ as the light and salt, chosen to fulfill God's purpose on earth. You can carry yourself. That means you live for yourself or carry Christ. Live for Christ. Represent Christ or represent yourself. Fulfill Christ's purpose or your own purpose. Would you step forward, step out, step away from distraction, and step up to what you are chosen for in 2020? I am chosen for a purpose. So are you. Live with eternity in hearts and in mind. Live with God's purpose. Say amen to that. My next question is, how? How? I have two answers for that. First, you have to choose between the rope or the yoke. Look at verse 30 to 32. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey. Is it good to be young? A young donkey tied there, and no one has ever driven. Untie it and bring it here. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. Why lose the young donkey and bring it to Jesus? Because the Lord needs the donkey. As long as the donkey is tied by the rope or by a chain, as long as it is bound and it is bound, it will not be able to come to Jesus or go far. It will not be able to do any work. Only restriction, restraint, hindrance, and limitation on the donkey life. The donkey can only go as far as the rope allowed, as far as the length of the rope. The rope becomes the master, the controller, the obstacle, the hindrance. No, to go any further would choke the donkey, discomfort the donkey. When you live your life with a rope on your neck, this is what happened to your life. Would you live your life with a rope on your neck? The tightness, the discomfort, the inconvenience, the danger. Human speaking, it's good to wear a tie, nice tie, but you don't want to wear a what? A rope. But yet, in the spiritual and emotional sense, invisible rope can be around your neck even without you realizing it and admitting it. Rope of fear, rope of tradition, rope of unforgiveness, rope of compromise, rope of sin, rope of worry and anxiety. You'll be surprised how many Christians are so anxious and so worried about tomorrow. Rope of discontentment. If you are not content, set your heart on Jesus Christ and understand what it is to be a child of God. Because I'm telling you, when you are not content, you are discontent, it becomes a rope that chokes you. The rope of financial debt, living beyond your means. The rope of insecurity. Even good things, lawful things, can be a what? A rope. If it becomes excessive. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12. Everything is permissible, allowed, and lawful for me. But not all things are helpful, good for me to do, beneficial and profitable when considered with other things. Everything is lawful for me, but I will not become the slave of anything or be brought under its power. Nothing, say then. Smartphone is good, but smartphone will not rule my life. Modern convenience is wonderful, but it will never be my master. I need money, just like you need money. But money must never be what? Your master. It must be your servant. It must not control you. And your mind must not fill with just wanting more and more and more. Because all this can become a rope. And as long as there's a rope that is on your neck, it will stop you from being the man and the woman of God. Stop you from being and doing. Stop you from your destiny and future. Stop you to God's intent for your life. Sometimes I hear people say, I can handle it. Not a problem. But let me tell you, the rope around your neck may be harmless and comfortable for a while, but it will slowly and slowly choke. And what does it choke? It choke your happiness. Your confidence, your faith, your contentment, your fruitfulness, and limit your ability to love and to serve God. I like walking in the park. Sometimes I see people walking with their dog. And sometimes I wonder whether are they walking with the dog or the dog walking with it, taking them for a walk. Have you ever seen? Sometimes people may say, I can handle one dog, walking with one dog. But I've seen people walking with three and four dogs. And each dog is going in different direction. And the poor fellow don't know where to go. This is what rope around your neck is. Beginning, you may say, I can manage it. But eventually, it will kill you. So Jesus told his disciple, go there, and when you see the rope on this donkey, I want you to take it off. I want you to know that if there is any rope in you, around your neck, that Jesus said to you today, in John chapter 8, verse 36, so if the Son deliberately make you free, if the Son set you free, you are really and truly unquestionably free. That whatever rope that is now your neck, that Jesus has the ability to set you free. So when Jesus asked the disciple, go and loosen the rope on the donkey neck. That word loosen simply means go and break and destroy and put it off. And it means this, that when you take off that rope, when you take it off the donkey, when the rope comes off you, the next thing happens, there is a vape of joyful emotion breaking forth out of you. This is what happens when rope comes out of your neck. You become what? Joyful. Joy and peace begin to fill your heart. And this is what Jesus said to the disciple, get it off, get it out, get rid of it, so that the donkey can come to me. This is what Jesus said to you, get it off, get it out, get rid of it, be free in Jesus' name. Why? The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you to be free so that you can carry Him to a dying and needy world. He set you free from the rope of bondage. Say amen. He set you free from the rope of legalism. He set you free from every rope so that you can carry only one thing. Carry the yoke of Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, whether it's by religion that provide no peace, and I will give you rest. I will refresh your soul with salvation. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Follow me as my disciple. And I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest." He said, take off all this rope. Come to me. Take on me. And when you take on me, you will find rest. You will be renewed. Your soul will be quiet and blessed. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. I'm chosen for a purpose. I can't do what God calls me to do if there is a rope around my neck. So that rope has to get out. Take off the rope and put on the yoke of Christ. For truly His yoke is light. You see, when Jesus talked about His yoke is light, it's a yoke that is on the two ox. The thing about this is that one side of the yoke is heavier than the other side. So the heavier side, the experienced ox will have it on his shoulder, and the lighter side for the young one. And Jesus said this, "I will always take the heavy load." Say amen. I will take the heavy weight. All you have to do is just follow me. Keep in step with me. Because God has the ability to shoulder all the responsibility, all your worries and your anxiety. As He said, cast all your cares and your burden upon Him, for He cared for you. The garment is upon His shoulder. His shoulder creation, His shoulder the world. He can shoulder you. So today, take off the rope of bondage and take on the yoke of Christ and meet the Lord's need. Fulfill the Lord's purpose and do the Lord's will. So, I'm chosen for a purpose. I have to choose between the rope or the yoke. I decided to choose the yoke of Christ. Would you? The next is how is to respond and yield. And sure enough, as it was untying the young donkey, the owner asked them, "Why are you untying that donkey?" The disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the cord to Jesus and knew their garment over it for Him to ride on. As He drove along, the crowd spread out their garment on the road ahead of Him. When they reached a place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all the followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles that they have seen. And they say, "Blessing on the King who comes in the name of the Lord." You know one thing, when you take the rope off your neck, it will begin to influence other people. Can you see just one donkey having the rope off caused others to lay their garment, caused the followers to lay their garment? There is great effect when you live free in Christ. I'm challenged by Scripture to learn that my obligation is to surrender. And how do I surrender? Is to respond and yield to the Lord's needs. The owner, we do not know whether he's a disciple of Jesus Christ. But he did not need to be persuaded. He did not bargain, negotiate, or hesitate. He simply what? Obey. Just because the disciple said, the Lord needs it, he simply obeyed. The Lord needs it was enough for the owner to release the donkey. In fact, it was immediate response. Not, I'll think about it, I'll pray about it. He did not ask, would the donkey come back to me? He did not say to the disciple, read and sign the higher agreement. It was not contractual. It was simply obedience to the Lord's needs. Do you respond immediately? Immediately to the Lord's need. Moses and Jeremiah, they bargained, they negotiated, they hesitated when God calls them. Finally, they say yes. How about you? What a humbling experience to know that the Lord needs you. It's not angel, but you that the Lord needs. What is stopping you from responding and yielding to the Lord's need? The owner respond, but the donkey yield to the disciple as he was taken to Jesus. Respond and yield. Respond, say yes or no. Many, when they hear the word being preached, they may respond, but they do not yield. It is the yielding to the preaching word that bring fruitfulness and change life. The word yield in the Old Testament deal mainly with fruitfulness, yielding their fruits. In the New Testament, when you say, when the word yield is used, it means change life. A good tree produces good fruits. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. It means like what Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, making this body of yours, all its five senses, yielding to God, presenting to God, being dead from sin and alive in God, so that your body is an instrument of righteousness. God say, I need you. What is your response? What does he need you to do in 2020? What is your response to him? Would you respond and yield to him? Because in 2020, set your heart to fulfill what the Lord needs from you. Whatever he needs from you, respond. Little obedience, little task, little something. But through just one yes and one yielding of yourself, you are closer to doing what the Master, what the Lord needs of you. This is your responsibility. We like the privileges. Can I encourage you? God wants you to respond to him. And he said to you, what I need from you. You know what the Lord needs. Respond to him. Yield to him. Don't let the rope hold you back. But get rid of the rope. Whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. Why don't we pray? Thank you, Lord. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Thank you, Lord. You are chosen for a purpose. Your life has a purpose. Your purpose is not finding things in this world. Your purpose is doing what God has created you for. He has created you with His image to represent Him. To represent Him. Don't allow the rope around your neck, the rope of self-concern, wanting more and more. Don't allow those rope around your neck to hold you back from doing what He calls you to do. Last Sunday, Pastor Yen shared, wherever you are, let your life shine for Him as a Christian. You don't have to preach a great message, but just let your life shine for Him. The Lord needs us allow the Spirit of God this morning to break every yoke, every rope be broken in Jesus' name.